Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs of these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Lonnie. Hey, Lonnie.
Hi, Lonnie, compulsive overeater. Thank you. No thoughts at all, except I'm really grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I found it without needing additional directions. I used to live not that far from here. This was in the strike zone of where I would go. Not so much today, and I'll get to that part. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since February of 1986. I came into Overeaters Anonymous. I was 340 pounds, give or take a pound or two, depending. And I came here totally fear-driven. Many people would go, no, that's not your basic personality. No, it really isn't, and yes, it is. It's not my personality. It's my core. My first meeting, I sat in a room, small room, Steph's study room. We were studying the AA's 12 and 12. I was brought up on that first and then found out there was the thing called the Big Book. But I sat in that room, and for the first time ever, I was 43. I'm 73 today. I'm 30 years abstinent. I said my name, that my name is Lonnie, and I'm a compulsive overeater, because that's what I heard the rest of you say. And I remember the only thing that went off in my head at the time was, oh, my God, there's a name for what I do. There's a name. You did not look like me at all. I rather relished in being terminally unique. I will describe that to you now. Up until I was about 57, I was an only child. And then I found out that I'm not really an only child. My mother, I have a half-sister, my mother put her up for adoption at birth. But up until that point, I was an only child. And my background is I'm black, white, Japanese, and Hawaiian. And it's an even quarter split. So I can divide myself from you instantly. Instantly. See? Nobody else, I don't think, in this room can probably make that claim. And yet, that I lost that terminal uniqueness quickly. Because the thing that I identified with was the thing that I said that first night in my first meeting. My name is Lonnie, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I had that. And that was a Tuesday night as I sat there wearing my muumuu top, my homemade pants, you know, like hair out here. I won't eat men's shoes. I can't even begin to describe you, to describe, oh, and pants, you know, thoroughly rubbed together as only they could be in the thighs of somebody 5'6", weighing 340 pounds. Today I'm 5'4". I'm more pissed off about losing the 2 inches in height than I am at all about the weight. That's the truth. And so I went home that Tuesday night, 1986, and I was kind of done. I bought the AA's 12 and 12, and as we read around the room, my job that night was to let you know that I knew how to read. I'm a really good reader, by the way. I knew how to read. That was it. That was really all I cared about. And as I counted ahead, there were about 12 people in the room. So as I moved ahead with the paragraph, don't screw up and read the wrong paragraph, because I can, you know, make my voice rise and drop as punctuation demands, blah, blah, blah. All in the head. And so a couple of days later, the friend who gave me the piece of literature that kind of described OA, she says, well, are you coming back next Tuesday? And I thought, no, there's something on television I know I should be watching. That was before VCRs. And the truth was, I was too chicken to tell her no. And I was in such bad shape. And the thing that I could identify with being such bad shape was, remember, it was after the Christmas 1985 holiday, where I celebrated as only I knew my family knew how to celebrate, which was make everything sweet in the world and consume it in vast quantities. But I was terrified. I was terrified at that point. And it is that degree of fear that brought me to my second meeting, where I was able to listen just a little bit. I wasn't hooked to come to Overeaters Anonymous. I had tried diets. I'm not a great dieter. You know, I will look at you and I will lie. Yes, I'll eat that. Yes, I'll measure. I'll weigh. I'll do that. I'll, you know, no, I won't. And for the first time, I think I really told the truth to somebody. You know, the truth is I'm going to lie about this. I'm not going to do this. So maybe I should just come to the second meeting. And I came to the second meeting, same little room, same little spot. By the way, I know that room well. Spent a long time in it later on, doing much better things. But at that time, that was a busy little meeting. We read, we wrote, and we shared the candlelight. We had a speaker. All of that took place in an hour and a half. So one of the things, okay, I proved that I could read. I could also pretty much write and express myself. And I could listen. And I don't know how it happened, but there was a young woman there. And she asked, she wanted to be my sponsor. And I thought, I don't want a sponsor. I didn't come here to do all of this. You know, we're not going to rub elbows and be sponsors and be best friends and all this. Give me the diet. I need to learn how to live on 2 acorns and a grape. And if I could live on 2 acorns and a grape and I could give up 150 pounds, thank you very much, I am gone. My life works just fine. It doesn't work that way. The longer I stayed, the less I knew that it doesn't work that way. I wrote a little something down because today I have to repeat things over and over and over again. At 73, I don't have the brain I had at 43. You are so blessed. It says, my condition is that I cannot control or moderate my condition under my own power. My condition is that I cannot control or moderate my condition under my own power. I came here under my own power. I came here to moderate my condition. I married early. I was born and raised right here in Los Angeles, in Watts, California, actually. I have 3 children, which I've most dysfunctionally raised all by myself. Thank you very much. And that was part of my fear. I did not want to have a heart attack and have some other person dysfunctionally raising my children. I was going to do that all by myself. And the funny thing was, I just stayed. I think the first 28 years of Overeaters Anonymous have prepared me for the last two. Remember I said I've been abstinent for 30 years. It means that is my food. I don't like to say that my abstinence is not perfect one way or the other. My food plan has shifted over time. My food plan began and is bottom line for me. The meal begins and the meal ends. There is a start and a finish to things. It does not continue and trail on through the day and the morning and the night, around the corner and in the car. No, it begins and it ends. And you know what happens? I get to do my work and then lunch. Hey, lunchtime. Lunch begins and it ends. No more trailing. No. And then dinner begins and it ends. And often I speak to myself, the kitchen is closed. And I get up and I do it again the next day. So I said the first 28 years was, I feel, was prep for the last two, because there's been more changes in the last 2 years of my life than have easily been in the last 28 or goodness only knows how many. 2 years ago, my husband passed away, and I was married for over 50 years, and that's a story for another program, so we won't even ask about that. And the family home that I lived in for 48 and a half years, I sold it. But right before that, and just a couple of months after my husband passed away, my daughter had moved in when he died, and we were seriously burglarized. Seriously. It was not pretty. It was bad. And I thought, if I was ever being given a sign, that's a sign, Lonnie. What's that a sign? The sign you need to get yourself up and move on. And my best friend a few years ago, we talked and we kind of could see how my husband was doing, and we knew it wasn't going to be long or too well. And we talked about maybe moving near each other and being able to be of some emotional support for each other. And I thought that was really good. And our families went along. Yeah, that sounds really good. Yes, we like that. Little did I know that he outlived her by 2 years. But in the meantime, she took me, after one of our retreats, she took me out to Seal Beach to Leisure World. Now, I laugh about this all the time. This is because when my children were little, and they remembered this, and now they're not little. And I said to them, don't you ever let me go there. Don't you ever let me go to the World of Leisure. Don't you let me go. If I say those words, you have me committed under an assumed name. And you tell them I'm a pathological liar, and don't let me out. So when I mentioned to my daughters, I'm thinking about moving to Leisure World and Seal Beach, they got on the phone. Oh, my God, what is Mom talking about? Anyway, the long and short of it is, Not only did I have to clean out and clear out everybody's stuff who used my garage, my closet, my home for storage, me, my stuff. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a collector, but I'm not a hoarder. True. Big difference. Okay, I will collect DVDs, but, you know, I have flat spaces and surfaces and stuff. But I have a big house, so I was able to collect a lot of stuff. And bit by bit, big chunks, bit by bit, cleared everything out, cleared the garage, cleared the house, contacted a realtor, and talk about having to take the things that I've learned in Overeaters Anonymous, working the 12-step program, itty-bitty baby steps at a time, with a time frame attached to it by me. I sold the house. I moved to Seal Beach, and I lived in Limerick Park, and if you don't know where that is, it's about 3 miles west of USC in the very now popular Crenshaw area, where there's lots of construction in the Crenshaw line, and they're in the papers about every month or so. And I couldn't stay any longer and wait for the prices to go any higher because I needed to leave. I had already received enough signs that said, I'm by myself now. I need to go. I've never lived alone. I'm not terrified of that at all. I don't worry about my food because, you know, breakfast starts and breakfast stops. Lunch starts and lunch stops. Same for dinner. But I live alone today, and so that's very different. The meeting that I've been hermetically sealed to on Westchester on a Thursday night, anybody in the world will tell you, go there and you'll probably find me, and if I'm not there, you name three other people, they're going to be there. It's still my home meeting, but in December I will also stop working in the corporate world. And I frame it that way because I'm not exactly certain what I'm going to do beyond that. But I'm not one who can sit around watching Dr. Phil and eating bonbons. That cannot be my life. That cannot be my life. And I've realized I'm turning into one of those little old ladies that I make fun of. Oh, my goodness. You know, I make fun of people who go in the grocery store, fill up their cart, and then lose it. And they have to announce over the loudspeaker because they've lost it. Oh, my God, is this my fate? No, this cannot be my fate. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous will save me from that fate. So that is kind of what the big shifts. And I'm still adjusting. I just last week finished, had my patio completed, and blah, blah, blah. There's always something to do. I had all these to do in my big home. Sold it and moved, don't miss it. And now I'm in what to me at first sounded looked like a very tiny space. And I realize now it's a perfect space for one person. And I cleared out so much stuff, I'm very particular about what I let in. If I buy a book, I have to let a book go. And I just mentioned books, and that just triggered something, and I want to talk about that. My entire life, I've been a reader. Remember I said I'm a good reader? I'm a good reader. Been a reader. Read everything. Read books all the time. Movies. Love movies. Collect movies. DVDs. I've got them hidden in the closet right now. Something to be dealt with. But I'm that person. And when I moved, the funny thing is, I'm having a hard time reading. I love tell me a story. Spy story. Scare me just a little bit. Tell me a story. Let me see if I can figure out who the serial killer is. I'm a happy girl. And all of a sudden, I'm not reading necessarily. And I lived in that place for 2.5 months with nothing but a bed because all my stuff was in storage while they refinished my new place, floor, walls, everything. And I would use the computer in the library or go to work and use the computer. I was forced to learn how to use the iPhone thing. I really don't like it, but my daughters have insisted. Okay, I'll give. Remember I said a lot of changes for me. Where was I going with this? Okay. Pardon me? Thank you. Thank you. See, I get that. You know, it's like squirrel. Okay, I get that. All this time, I've always loved those two things. We'll read everything. And I don't anymore. And so when I was journaling early on this year, like maybe January 1st or 2nd, and I was doing some serious writing, and what I wrote, because I wrote about, wow, I'm not doing this anymore. I lived for 2.5 months with no television. No internet, no television. And, you know, I learned I could live with very little. But what I learned is I ate to escape the life I created for myself. I also read and watched movies to escape the life I created for myself. And I no longer feel the need to escape. And that's my today's story. Because tomorrow's story, I might need to escape. Now, if I just need to escape, believe me, I'd much rather read a book or, you know, watch a movie than to compulsively overeat. I also don't eat sugar. And I have a neighbor now who wants to, she makes sugar-free things, and she comes over, she knocks on the door, she's the cutest little lady, her hair's pink, okay, and she knocks on the door, and she says, this is made with Splenda, and I'm like, about a pound and a half of it, I don't think so, you know, you must taste this, and I finally said to her, don't do that. One, even though I might use a packet of Splenda in my glass of iced tea, and I'm fine with that, but I don't eat a concentrated chemical like that. Things have changed for me. My taste have completely changed. My taste in food have completely changed. I'm much happier with it being simpler. Sugar drives me in a way that is frightening. You don't become 340 pounds living on 2 acorns in a grape. You just don't, people. And I'm not exercising and moving like I have been, and I need to, and I'll get there on that. I don't worry a lot of stuff. And I'm older, and I heard older people say this on the program, and I really hate that. But if you're not doing those other two things, then you really don't need as much food either. Wait a minute. Let's go back and rethink that. I got a sponsor. I'll write about that. We'll talk about it. But I no longer do things, any activities, to escape. If I really strongly feel the need to escape whatever I've created for myself, take ownership of what I need to escape from, there's things, and I was at one this morning at 8 o'clock this morning. It's called a meeting. And here's another one of my fellows. I don't have to tell you a long story as to maybe why the recipe for whatever that is, blah, 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 called to me when I read the ingredients. But never mind, pretty picture, you really don't need that. If given a choice between that other thing that my neighbor is always knocking at, well, she doesn't knock so much anymore because maybe I've insulted her by not eating her thing. But one day she brought me a peach. And I thanked her because I eat peaches. You know, that was very nice of her. And they just know that I'm the neighbor that moved next door, that it kind of eats a little on the quirky side. She doesn't really need to know anymore. I don't need to blather. I don't need to launch into huge explanations for what I do and why I do it. If someone asks, I'm happy to share. I've never been ashamed of being an Overeaters Anonymous. I've been proud of being an Overeaters Anonymous. You know, a few short years ago, I'm sitting at my desk one day. My boss, I've been at the same company for 17 and a half years. My boss rounds the corner and stops dead. And he says, that's a pie. Because on my desk were two Marie Callender boxes of pie. And I said, wow, you must be an engineer. Boy, you really have insight, you know, because I work for a group of engineers, a little sarcasm. And he just kept looking at it. He says, but that's pie. And then he looks behind me, because in the little shelf behind me, I would have an apple and a banana, maybe a plum or something. Boy, 17 years, same thing. And I said, yes. And I offered him the explanation. I just kind of felt it at that moment. And I said, my husband calls and he said, please bring pie. And across the street was pie. And I went across the street to Marie Callender's and bought the pie, and I happened to leave them on my desk until I could take them home. I offered an explanation. Usually I don't. I'm not kind like that. And he went, wow. And he said, all the years that you've worked for me, I have never seen you with any dessert on your desk, because I don't eat dessert. But I'm the lady that if you tell me you're hungry, I'll offer you my apple. You know? And I thought, that's a good thing to be known for. That is not how, he has not a clue. And he doesn't have to have a clue. You know, and neither does anybody else. So I'm proud of my membership in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm happy to share my membership in Overeaters Anonymous. But being in this 12-step program, not just in it, but trying to work it to the best of my ability on a daily basis requires some certain actions that I never thought I would have. I didn't come here looking for those things. I didn't come here knowing that I had a condition that I cannot control or moderate under my own power. Remember, I said I just needed to figure out how to lose 150 pounds and I'd be just fine, thank you very much. And that wasn't the truth. I was very far from just fine. I won't even go into detail because we're on tape on the dysfunctional background. I've heard it before. You've heard it before. Mine might be a little stranger than others. That's okay. If you really want to know, you can speak to me after the meeting, but I won't put all of that on tape as blah, blah. So that comes down to the what's under my own power stuff. I get up today a lot different than I used to get up. My first day of abstinence, my first day, day one, a Friday, thank you, not a Monday. I start nothing. I won't start a new job on a Monday. I make sure all my jobs either started on a Tuesday or maybe a Friday or something, but never on Monday. Just a mental thing, okay? But here it was a Friday morning, and I had been to the 100-pounder meeting, which in those days was huge, horribly rowdy, embarrassingly robust, foul and profane, funny as all get out, and I was horrified at what I heard and what I saw. And this was at the federal building in Westchester a long time ago. I mean, in Westwood a long time ago. I was horrified, and I was fascinated. And I thought, I'm horrified because I can't believe you people are yelling and screaming, banging on things because somebody got a year's worth of abstinence. I didn't know what that word meant. And I was fascinated because you spoke my language. You spoke my language. I understood. And I stayed. The major blessing to me in Overeaters Anonymous is that I didn't leave. When I woke up this morning, kind of early, because I get up kind of early, I accepted and I received the gift. I say this often these days, but I had to work into that dialogue. And I speak out loud because, you know, I'm by myself. Who cares if I speak out loud? I speak out loud and I say, thank you. I accept and I receive the gift this morning. I accept and I receive the goodness of the gift. When I started doing that, there is something mentally, an attitude adjustment, if you will, that just kind of lowers a little bit. And it says, oh, that's right. I don't have to struggle. I don't struggle. I don't have to, if I could just get it today. You know, I hear this. If I could just get it, or I'm trying to get it. And I thought, well, if I believe and accept and receive it, then I don't have to struggle to try to get it. That's upon awakening. And then from there, well, let's see, I'm going to have a breakfast. Pretty much is in the parameters of what the breakfast always is. I'm going to have fruit. One fruit is no longer a watermelon. I used to think one fruit was a watermelon. This was a contained unit of one. My sponsor, I'll say watermelon, and she'll immediately come up, how much? Okay, it's not a whole one. Okay. And then I'll kind of have a plan. Generally, if I'm going to work, I take my food with me. It's going to be salad. It's going to be something that is healthy and good for me. If it's going to change, I can make changes. I am in contact with my sponsor every day. And I do send in my food sometimes before, and some, usually by the end of the day, I will make a commitment, and it stays within a certain parameter. Once in a while, it exceeds the parameter, and I'm going to speak calorically, but not anything else. That's the food plan. That's how the food plan works. The abstinence is I've accepted and received that this morning, upon awakening, I was given a gift that nothing else could give me but a power greater than myself. And so because I received it and I accepted it, it means I already have it. So it means I don't have to struggle. My job is, don't give it away. Oh, put a whole different twist on it for me. I don't have to get it. You're not trying to get it. I don't have to do that. I just don't have to trash it. I just need to keep it. How do I keep it, Lonnie? I'm the most grateful girl you have ever seen. And that is not how I came to you. It was so bad one time at one of the meetings because I speak English relatively well. I speak profane excellently. And one of the young women who later became my first sponsor and my very dearest friend, she said, you know, we all know how to say that. And I went, oh. She said, and we try to maybe not say that so often. Oh, really? I like to conjugate the verb personally, but, you know, okay. If that's how you roll, all right. And so bit by bit by bit, thank you. That's 10 minutes for how long? Another 10 minutes. After that, okay, maybe I'll give me the 10-minute sign. I'll try and wrap it up and then maybe open for questions. Or I can, 10 minutes from now? Okay, I'll two more and then we can open it up for questions. Okay, so the changes that occur as a result of not compulsively overeating, not sedating, not lying and pretending. I used to sit in the movie theaters. This was one of my favorite things. I would sit in the movie theaters, and I would eat enormous amounts of food with a big diet soda because I could pretend I was in the dark. I could pretend I would shovel it in. Occasionally, I would find things down in my popcorn holes, and I would wonder, how did I miss any? You know, I thought I was really good with that, but I could pretend I was escaping again. It was using the food, using whatever I had to escape. You know, not so much. Recently, maybe the last holiday season, I go to over to Westside Pavilion, and I go to the Landmark, and I'm going to go to a movie, and I realize that I planned my day badly, meaning I timed myself badly. I'm reactive hypoglycemic, so my body requires some protein. I've been tested many times for it, and I always flag bad for protein. Okay, I just need to eat more protein. All right. And so I'm there, and I realize that this is bad. I should have eaten before. I don't eat in the dark. I do not eat in the dark. I just don't. And I got to get something to eat. And I don't buy anything from a concession stand, ever. And I'm standing there like I don't have enough time to go down all the way down to the food court to find something that might be an abstinent milk. All the way back. No, that's not good. And I'm starting to sweat and I'm starting to shake. Not good. And so I look up there and they go, Hebrew National Hot Dog. I can eat that. I buy one. I get it. I go over. Smear the little mustard on it. There's a bazillion people going by and I stand right there. And I eat my hot dog. And I'm done. I wrap it up. Go to the bathroom, wash my hands, go sit down in the movies. Blood sugar came back up, watched the movie, did just fine. Went home, emailed my sponsor, and the first thing she said was, and you ate that hot dog in the lobby, didn't you? Absolutely, because I don't eat in the dark. Too much damage done where it couldn't be honored, where I couldn't be truthful. That's not truthful. Hiding. It didn't matter that I knew the physical condition of what was happening. It was, I just kind of just don't do that. And that was bad planning on my part. I didn't have any almonds with me or, you know, something that could bring my blood sugar. Well, okay, we'll figure it out. And I did. I figured it out. And, you know, it wasn't candy. And it wasn't anything else. And I was kind of horrified that I even had to spend money with those people. I could have brought my own damn hot dog. But it kind of worked that way. And so, I make my way. I just make my way. I make my way one little bit at a time, one day at a time. I try to give service and show up. So far from perfect, I stub my toe, and I spend most of my time learning from the rest of you. I don't even know if I have any wisdom to impart all the time. Sometimes I have great wisdom to impart, and I tell one of my sponsees, I'm going to impart this wisdom, and she immediately gets something to write it down, because if she asks me again, I won't be able to give her the same wisdom. So write that down. Okay, that's your lesson for today. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I can't think of another place that would give me what I never thought I wanted. I did not plan to spend the next 30 plus years, and hopefully there's some plus behind that, going to OA meetings and giving service and helping and doing things. And yet that is the way my life is, and I just can't think of it being any better right now. But you know what? I'm open. I'm an open book. Bring it, I say. I'll accept that just like everything else. So I'm going to stop now because I'd like to go for questions because sometimes I skip over things and then someone will say, you know, you were going to do so-and-so. So I'm going to end my share and please ask questions. Thank you so much for letting me share.
I just wanted to know, how do you keep your enthusiastic attitude?
Okay, how do I keep my enthusiastic attitude? I don't know. Remember, I woke up this morning, and you know, I'm kind of funny. I'm a child of the morning energy. This is not my most energetic time, people. You know, but I had a late lunch, so that's okay. But I'm a child of morning energy, and this is who I am. The good, the bad, and the indifferent, this is pretty much who you get. I don't have low lows. And so, often if I just want to change my attitude about something, I went shopping at Costco for my next door neighbor the other day. Yesterday. Okay, that was a bit of a stretch. But you know what? When I got done, I felt much better. I gave a little service. So there's a hand back there.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. The question is that I was off flour and sugar, and can I explain that?
Like,
no,
like
I'm not off flour.
Oh, sorry.
The sugar. I do not eat sugar.
Yeah,
yes. Early on, when I came to OA and I was going to that horrible, huge, raucous meeting over there in West Los Angeles, a guy stood up and he talked about sugar. And I was new within the first 2 months, I'm thinking. And he talked about reading labels. What do you mean reading labels? And he said, you know, if you like to drink, in those days I liked coffee with lots of Cremora in it. Well, the truth was I liked the sugar. Once I removed that, you know, I practically don't drink coffee anymore. True. And I also liked ketchup rice. Oh, man, I love that. Yeah, well, the sugar content of both of those is probably about, 68% sugar or something. It's some huge high sugar content. I'm a sugar junkie. I crossed the line a long time ago. Hold that, please. I am a cucumber. A long time ago, I was a pickle. When a cucumber becomes a pickle, it never goes back to being a cucumber. I can be a doggone good pickle, but I will never be a cucumber. I crossed that line. I crossed the line when I was a child, when one serving of ice cream was one pint. Not a cone like the other 5 or 6 or 7 year olds. A pint. Because that's what my 300-pound grandmother ate. And that's what it was for me. So sugar for me is not an option. It is not good for me. And the truth is, zero is an easy number. Not having it, super simple. Impossible number, have one. Can't do that. I must consume everything. So I can see one more. Quick.
It just seems impossible.
Excuse me. Okay, no. Hello. Hello. No, I don't. Listen, I'm going to impart some wisdom. What I say about imparting wisdom, here it is. My condition is that I cannot control or moderate my condition under my own power. Okay? Under my own power. I cannot do any of that. Step 3 anchors me. All the rest, I was terrified of step 4. What? You want me to do what? Take my inventory? Surely you jest. I've done nothing wrong, but I can take yours. Thank you very much. But you know, step 3 anchors me. I receive a gift. The gift is from a power greater than me. I don't give anything. Yeah. So, under my own power, I would suggest that you work with your sponsor and maybe go to a good step study and begin to really go into step 3. Wait, hold that. Does anybody else have a question? Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bonnie. Can you talk about if you have a morning routine and also a little bit about your relationship with your higher power?
I have a morning routine and a little relationship with my higher power. I have a morning routine beyond the getting up and the thankful bit and you know. There's a couple of things I read from right now. It shifts. It has shifted. But I like to read Voices of Recovery. Voices of Recovery was actually written by Overeaters Anonymous, people in Overeaters Anonymous. I like to read the Big Book. So I'll read a couple of pages of the Big Book. And when I say read it, I no longer read the Big Book for the plot. I don't read any of them for the plot. I seek entertainment. I read it a lot, many times for the plot. And I learned to slow it down and read it 1 to 2 pages at a time and then kind of meditate on it. I meditate. Who knew? I set the little alarm on my phone and I meditate. Sometimes I can go almost a half an hour. Oh, my goodness. And I found out that it doesn't mean that I can concentrate that whole half an hour on my breathing because the brain goes in, the brain goes out. But I've learned to say, not breath, and kind of, or something to bring it back and concentrate and focus. And sometimes it'll be a little chant, you know, with the good coming in, the fear, anger, shame, resentment, and whatever else going out, whatever it is. So I meditate. I don't journal. I journaled for years, and all of a sudden, I don't want to journal, which means I probably need to journal again. That's simple. I give thanks constantly. And when I'm on the freeway, because I get up at 4, I hit the freeway by 5:15, 5:20, 4:05, going to Westchester, coming out of Seal Beach, and I begin to pray. Thank you. And I'll wrap this up. For everybody that I can think of ever, and everyone that they know, and everyone whose paths they cross, all the people on the freeway, you name it, and I'm there. And it won't just be the people in this room, but everyone that you know and everyone that they know. And I figure eventually it'll make its way back to me. So far, so good. Thank you for letting me share.